So valley floors in the southwest of Australia have been affected greatly by variations in groundwater over time. And that's two examples of them there. And these large flat valleys are actually incredibly complex, having formed over millions of years. They're characterised by a highly weathered profile of great depth. They're characterised by a landscape of great depth that has been greatly weathered. We've seen the inclusion of other things such as filcrete, ferricrete. Can I stop for a moment? I'm feeling very rattled. Just give me a moment, sorry. Okay. I'm going to start that again. Sorry. Okay, so, yep, great. Drink of water would be great. Okay. So, Western Australia, these landscapes have been formed over millions of years. We have a landscape that has been formed over this large period of time. Look, I'm just going to skip that one because it's tongue-tying me, so I'm not going to do it. So in the case of these landscapes where we have a mixture of alluvium, colluvium and residual laterite, we've got an example here of deep drains which have allowed us the opportunity to expand and look at these profiles over large areas of the landscape, and these are originally designed for the management of dry land salinity. So our first aim was to try and identify these valley floor materials, and secondly was to try and work out what the processes were that had created them in the first place. We had six sites that expanded the wheat belt of Western Australia, which is the agricultural, main agricultural region, and we looked at 70 kilometres of this drainage. And we used techniques such as XRD and ICP-MS to look at the mineralogy and the chemistry of these areas, as well as things like SEM and synchrotron XRD to try and understand these processes and look at trace minerals that we'd also identified. So marked in green are the six locations across the wheat belt, and these represent broad material classes. They are derived from granitic and gneissic Archean materials, and they tend towards carbonates in the northern areas. So included here are just six profiles from the six sites that we looked at. They ranged in texture from sands through to medium heavy clays. We identified calcrete, ferricrete and silcrete at some of these sites. And we also, you can see from that picture that we identified mottling in most of those sites, hinting at episodes of saturation. And they're all quite different materials. Okay, here's just an XRD pattern showing four XRD patterns of the whole materials from these sites, giving you an idea of some of the mineralogy that we identified. Quartz and kaolin were the dominant minerals, the ubiquitous products of intense weathering in this landscape, and there was also some trace feldspar often found. So this gives you a more complete list of the main minerals that we identified in the area. So the first three are derived from that weathered granitic parent material. And, of course, we have a series there of orthogenic materials that are formed from soil solution. And just a tabulated version of that, that just gives you an idea. Again, I've got highlighted those three materials that represent that granitic parent material. And then, of course, we've also got the... we've also got carbonates and other salts, secondary clay minerals and iron oxides present. So we then moved on to a bit of scanning electron microscopy. So we did element mapping, imaging and EDS. The element mapping and the imaging was designed to be able to look at voids and grains and also in terms of the spacings and angularity, as well as identify heavier grains. And of course, we've been able to use the EDS on matrix material to do a bit of stats and have a look at variations in composition and the like. And just there, I've got marked for you some heavier grains. We've got some ilmenite and zircon, as well as both plagioclase and alkali feldspar, and of course, angular quartz. And marked in the bottom left corner, we've got the clay matrix, which is quite a homogeneous clay matrix that we've got there of kaolin. So the second thin section is from an area called Three Springs, and we've got a backscatter electron image in the top left-hand corner. And you can see the image is quite very rich in both calcium and magnesium. And the majority of the thin section, which this darker area, is basically dolomite, and you can see calcite in the paler areas. And we suspect that that's likely a secondary event where the calcite has precipitated in voids. There is, however, a small amount of both aluminium and silicon throughout the sample, and that gives us confidence that this was originally some sort of clay matrix material, and it has, to a large extent, been replaced fully by the carbonates. The next thin section is from the same region in Three Springs. The distinction here is we obviously have a lot more calcium. This is more dominated by calcite, but also has some dolomite. And within that material, you can see clay pellets, which we feel that are likely to have derived from lacustrine sediments in the landscape. And the calcium, or the calcite and dolomite, have precipitated from solute-rich groundwater around these clay pellets. And if we look at a ternary plot of this sort of data, so the one on the left is just a standard ternary plot with the kaolin line marked, and that's just the grouping you've got there is just the clay pellets, and you can see they don't sit very close to the kaolin line. They're both rich in iron and in silicon, and also they probably don't represent just pure kaolin samples. There's probably a mixture of other clay minerals that were identified at that site, including illite and palygorskite. And the one on the right, you can see in those bottom corners, we've got calcium and magnesium. And we've got a separation out here of the areas that are dominated by calcite and those that are dominated by dolomite. So if we look at that, take that another step forward, we've used principal component analysis. So this data is all the EDS points taken for the Three Springs thin section, so there's about 550 points that comprise this data here. So I've marked on for you calcite, dolomite and kaolin, which are derived from a calculation using the figure on the left-hand side. And this cluster that overlap here, I think, are actually they're iron, silicon here, potassium and aluminium. And we've got quite a nice separation in this section here. So without the markers, it was a little bit harder to work out. But as soon as you put this calcite and dolomite on here, you can see we have these series that sit around the calcite point and these series that are drawn further down by this magnesium on the other side. And on the right-hand side, we've got these are the clay pellets that we found. So, of course, these are from all of the Three Springs, so all of these have undergone varying degrees of impregnation or replacement and contain, obviously, more than just kaolinite. So you're not necessarily going to expect it to sit over here because of that mixture of clay minerals. And, of course, you've got this region through the centre. Some of these are going to be calcite or dolomite materials with a little bit of clay, or the flip side of that is they're going to be clay materials with a little bit of less impregnation of the carbonates. So the next thin section, and this is from a place called Pithara. So of note mostly here are these brighter areas that you can see through here. And this shows varying amounts of iron present. So what we have are concentric layers of both clay-rich argillans and iron-rich ferriargillans throughout the sample. And this hints at a sequence of events, so normally most likely an encroaching and then receding water table. So if we plot these on a ternary plot, well, they obviously sit very nicely along the kaolin line, and this is a very kaolinitic sample, but Where's my mouse gone? Oh, there it is. So these divisions here are how I conducted the EDS. So they've separated based on how bright they were within the thin section, so relating to their iron concentration. And you can see they break down quite nicely, and it's quite likely that these actually represent discrete events that have occurred with the sample. So again, looking at all the points for that sort of area, you can see we have iron sitting out here as opposed on in opposition to our clay-based minerals here, and you can see these samples do the same. So they're drawn out by the iron oxide on that side. And again, they're not sitting very close to the kaolin. We wouldn't expect them to sit up there, mainly because they were all to some point, some degree, impregnated with small amounts of iron oxide. And of course, we have a drawdown here in relation to these elements here, which are calcium, potassium, magnesium and sodium. Now, of course, from XRD and from the rest of the EDS, we know that there's no carbonates present, so it's likely been drawn down by the salt content, because, of course, all these sites are actually saline regions in Western Australia. Okay, and I think this is my final thin section. The reason I've incorporated this one is just to show you an example of secondary silica that we have through here that I've marked. And this is basically a situation where we've had groundwater that's encroached the region that's rich in silica and has deposited or crystallised silica within voids within that sample structure. So in summary, these materials are very diverse and have a complex history, and we're now starting to understand them a bit more, and processes such as impregnation and replacement are helping us be able to identify them. Thank you. And I'd just like to thank, obviously, my funding bodies, but also Wayne Hudner, who's here, whose funding has generously allowed me to come over here today. Thank you.